I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, coming to you from station KJZZ in Phoenix, Arizona. We're here to speak with people along the U.S.-Mexico border about the issues that are important to them this election season, like immigration and border security. We heard earlier from a rancher and a local county sheriff, and then also from undocumented immigrants waiting to be deported. My colleague Rupa Shenoy has our next story. She hosts our Otherhood podcast, which focuses on people who straddle different identities in America. And here in Arizona, Rupa started out by speaking with a couple of Border Patrol agents who happen to be Latino.
In front of the Tucson Border Patrol compound, there's a big sign that says they're hiring. The parking lot is full, and cars are crammed onto extra lawn space.
Hi.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. I'm Rupa.
I talked to agents Vicente Paco and Daniel Hernandez outside in the courtyard. The two of them visit local high schools and tell students they can get a good job with the Border Patrol here. And this is an area where jobs can be hard to come by. Hernandez says they have to compete with cartels trying to recruit the same teenagers to help smuggle drugs or people north.
So primarily the Hispanic youth that know the border culture that can travel into Mexico and kind of blend in there and travel north into the United States are the ones that are more susceptible.
How do you speak to those kids, but then not make them feel profiled?
Well, the thing is I'm one of those kids.
And Hernandez says he looks like those kids. His parents are Mexican immigrants, and he grew up in an Arizona border town where he saw people who worked with the cartels get killed.
I need more than two hands to count how many friends that in high school were killed. Through a different turn of events, would have maybe ended up the wrong path, you know. But I had good parents, and I understood the risks involved. So is it a profiling? I don't believe so.
Okay, so tell me if I'm wrong, but many people say this, that as the kid of immigrants, you have just like a basic gratitude to be in the United States and to be American because you have so many opportunities and things like that here. So how do you deal with that when you interact with other people who don't have the same opportunities?
You know, we don't choose where we live. We're here.
This is Agent Paco. His family, like many here, have moved back and forth across the border for generations. Paco was born in Mexico, but inherited American citizenship through his father, a Californian who fought for the U.S. in the Korean War.
To those who are over there, and they might say, oh, you got lucky because, you know, you were brought over here and this and that and another. Well, I don't know.
That's a parallel universe, Paco says. He doesn't like to speculate.
You know, it's hard for me to say they could have, would have, should have, you know. I can only speak of what happened. There are opportunities in other places. They're just different and maybe not as rewarding as they are in the United States. That's why, you know, this is the country where everybody wants to be on and looks up to. You know, I will make sure that my kids understand that.
Paco has to walk a fine line. Some people in his own community just don't like that he's a border guard.
I have family members or friends that I grew up with in the border town where I was raised. And I tell them, you know, it's like, it's another job. You know, it's a job that, you know, I swore to uphold the law. And whatever that law is, I'm going to enforce. And, you know, I will do the job that I'm being paid to do by the American public.
Hernandez kind of echoes Paco.
I'm proud of my country and I'll serve my country. But I do recognize other people's, you know, struggles, perhaps, in other countries, but at the same time, things are the way they are, and I try to do the best in my community, in my world. You know, I try not to think too far out. It's a great country, and everybody wants to come here, but not everybody can, you know, unfortunately. But that's the way things are, and I'm just grateful that I'm an American.
It can be tough when public sentiment turns against border guards, like when the media runs stories about the deaths of migrants trying to cross the desert from Mexico to the United States. Paco and Hernandez say it frustrates and saddens them when people risk their lives and break the law. They say all border agents can do when that happens is focus on the job, which often is to save people they find trying to cross.
Sometimes we're seen as this entity that might be a little stern and harsh to some people, but we're not. You know, we're actually we're focused on humanitarian efforts because it's the right thing to do.
From Border Patrol headquarters, it's less than a 10-minute drive to the local medical examiner's office, where Kat Rodriguez says the buildup of Border Patrol agents in southern Arizona didn't happen by chance.
Militarizing the border at the more common crossing places and intentionally pushing the flow of migration into the more isolated, desolate areas was an intentional strategy.
a strategy by the U.S. government that Rodriguez says isn't working because people trying to reach the U.S. aren't deterred by the harsh journey across the desert. Rodriguez is a specialist with the Colibri Center, a nonprofit housed inside the medical examiner's office. It was created to identify the remains of people who die while crossing the unforgiving desert.
This beautiful, amazing, pristine, but utterly cruel, and does not discriminate, and it does not forgive you in the winter, and it does not forgive you in the summer, and it will take everything from you.
So much so that it's almost like the desert swallows up the bodies of those who die. Sometimes there are just small pieces of people left, like a fragment of a skull.
You know, we have to sit there on the phone and like, beg families, like, don't open the box when it comes home to you. You know, I mean, that's... Sorry.
No.
That is probably the thing that makes me the most ashamed, is like, here's what we're sending home to you. And, you know, we straddle this place of the living and the dead because we're looking at a skull on this screen and a picture of this guy at his wedding on another. And you just can't, you know, you just can't, like, sometimes reconcile that that person's not here anymore. Some days it's really hard, you know, and it's just a constant feeling like we are trying to make up for something our government is doing. And it's not enough.
Last month, Rodriguez and her colleagues identified 21 people who died in the desert. She and the border guards, Paco and Hernandez, they're all very aware that the upcoming presidential election has the potential to drastically change the border policy and the situation here in southern Arizona. Hernandez says that's how it should be. That's what he tells people when they try to talk to him about politics.
You know, we tell them, if you don't like the law, then change it. We're the ones that enforce the laws, but we're not the ones that create them.
Power over American border policy, he says, rests with those who've always had it, the American people. For The World, Rupa Shenoy, Tucson.